conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today.
Don't light my candle unless you're ready to get burned.
I may have a white refrigerator, but I'm far from the ghetto.
Can we please say justice for people with white refrigerators? Because for all of y'all who like have your own homes and such, like, good for you for choosing stainless steel or like a wood or whatever. But for those of us who live in, God forbid, New York City and like areas where we don't get to decide, we're just thrilled we have a door. Like, I don't even. So this, like, the whole like Lanithia, Kenya white refrigerator is like all well and good, but can we, I die a little bit on the inside. Do you die a little bit on the inside when people make fun of the fridges that we call home?
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, I've been in my apartment for 3 years now. Like, I love it. Like, I have a backyard. It's cute.
Ooh, okay, and, money.
And basement storage. But, like, wow. It's a little bit older. But it's, yeah, like, in a, you know, a chill, quiet part of Brooklyn. And my friends love to drag me for my white refrigerator.
Like, we have a choice in the matter. I have been in my apartment for over a decade. I'm thankful it chills things. Like,
exactly.
Honestly, like, truly. And, you know, it's chic. You know,
exactly.
It's vintage.
But I think if I had a stainless steel refrigerator, my rent would probably be like $1,000 more, and I'm totally okay with having a white refrigerator.
Right. Like, who needs that? Like, I'm afraid that if I said to my, I'm in like a whole thing with my super because I haven't, you know, technically in New York City leases or I don't know, leases in general or whatever, like you're technically allowed or you're supposed to get your apartment repainted like every however many years.
Yeah, sure.
It's been over a decade. I have never asked because I wanted to be the favorite tenant. So I have tried for over a decade to be. I start and end every call with the building broker being like, and who is the favorite tenant? And he's like, you are. And I'm like, that's exactly the right answer. But as a result, I feel like I've been super chill because I'm like, hey, just want to like make sure your day is okay. So you like me the most, and now I'm like, I re-signed my lease, and he was like, in July, re-signed in August, and he was like, I'm like, when can I get the apartment repainted? I really want, like, clean walls. And he was like, October, and I was like, cool, that feels like way too long, but I am your favorite tenant, so
exactly.
I am going to accept that. And now it's essentially September, and I'm like, okay, so about that, and they're like, we don't know. What?
He didn't say October of which year. It could be October 2022.
That's the problem. So now I'm like, Fabi, my super Fabio, I call him Fabi and Fobs. I'm like, Fobsies, like, what? But I want walls. I told them it's, I want to move in furniture, but like, who has money for that? But like, I want clean walls.
No, I relate to that. Cause you like, no one likes an annoying, naggy tenant. I've been that person before and my super hated me, but here we are. My super loves me now.
Right. But I mean, like, and they do, I mean, they change my light bulbs and stuff. And oh, like, wow. I got new, oh yeah. They know I can't do anything. And I have to change the curtains on in my living room, aka they have to change the curtains in my living room.
Listen, you're saving a lot of money from TaskRabbit. So like, I'm here for you on that one.
Guys, free Patreon subscription to any AG who wants to come over this week and paint my apartment. Like, I think, ugh. Right? Who would ever?
I painted one of my walls in my apartment and I was like, never again. This took way too long.
I don't understand. I still remember this earliest memory in pre-K at the Jewish Community Center in Providence, Rhode Island. We had to do like some fucking drawing thing and I saw Alana next to me and I was like, Alana, you are better at this than I am. Can I have one of your pictures when you're done? And I project managed and she gave me one of her, and it was better.
Wait, I did that in high school with my ceramics class because
did you?
I can't craft with my hands. My brain, exponential, but my hands, like it got to the point where it was like final project time. And I was like, I have a B- in ceramics. Because my teacher didn't think I tried. He said I talked too much and that my work didn't represent someone who tried. So I paid someone off to make me a bowl.
Did you pay someone?
Yeah, I paid someone $20.
To make you a bowl?
Have you ever taken a ceramics class?
I was, thank you very much, a counselor in training. And no, I did not ask to be a counselor. And yes, I am still bitter about it. In ceramics at Moses Brown, for all of you guys at Rise Camp, Rhode Islanders know me at Moses Brown Summer Camp in Providence, Rhode Island. I was a CIT. They did not ask me back. And I could have made, I think, $200 for that entire summer. And I did not.
Oh, my God. Well,
I'm still pissed about it. But I was in ceramics. I was very bad at it. And yes, I did talk too much.
Yeah, it's horrible. And it's just like people are like, look at my bowl, one of these. And I'm like, I made a plate. A very lumpy plate.
You made a bowl that just serves other purposes. And that is okay in life. Sometimes we do things different from what we thought we did. And yours was just a flatter bowl. But was it still a bowl in many ways, spiritually and otherwise? I think so. And guys. You guys, girls, we're just wrapping up today. Guys, it's Annie's Girls. It's episode 200. I don't even know. And I am so excited to be joined by someone who I met, I don't even know, truly like in my veins, maybe. He feels like a part of me at this point. He is embedded in my...
I'm your vaccine, baby.
You are my vaccine, and I feel so safe and so secure and double dosed when I see this person on Andy's Girls. You know him as a delightful voice on... How did we even connect? Was it Clubhouse?
I think it was Clubhouse. Instagram? Clubhouse, yeah.
It was Clubhouse, but as soon as I heard him on Clubhouse, I was like deeply in love. As you guys can tell, he's just essentially my life partner at this point, and I'm so excited for the journey that we have in front of us.
Same. I have no one, so it's you.
Amen. Hey! Okay. Like, I can tell you're excited. I'm lonely, so you're going to be the one. No, we are meant to be together. We're turning down current offers on the table to sass with each other.
And exactly.
That's an important distinction to make. Okay, his name is Daniel Stokes. His role, senior project lead, program lead of employee connections at DoorDash. His favorite connection, the one on this episode, Daniel Stokes. How are you?
Boom, boom. I'm great. It's sunny. Oh, I'm alive.
Yes.
That's about it.
Yeah,
the bar is in hell. So like you gotta wake up and say, ah, we did it another day.
We did do it another day. I have to say, this past week, not great.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Right? Not good.
It's like, meh. Like, nothing like jazzy, but nothing like earth-shatteringly positive.
I feel like we do need some jazz fingers. Let me just, before we get started on this week of Andy's Girls, I have to do something with you that I do every day, and it sets my day, and it's usually a negative thing, so I apologize. What is your horoscope?
I'm an Aquarius.
Okay, great. That's the first one that popped up. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not. I'm going to, guys, the New York Post Daily Horoscope, they drag me every day. Every day they're like, here's why you're the absolute devil. So I'm just setting your expectations. But I do think that they are also very real. And I do. Every day they're like, you're making terrible financial decisions. And I'm like, can you please, Sally Brompton, get away from me and my negative checking account with all of these wonderful letters that come to my door every day. Listen, that are like, are you still here?
The asteroid is coming in like 30 years. Like, fuck a 401. Fuck a 401k.
Oh, my God. Can someone put a vision board up with just an asteroid on a piece of paper? Because I need something to look forward to, and I think that's the thing. Okay, Aquarius. Here's your daily horoscope, Aquarius.
Oh, God.
The planets urge you to drop the fierce look you've been showing the world of late and put on your happy face. Beneath that cool, are you sure you're Aquarius? Beneath that cool looking Aquarius exterior is a caring human being with enough warmth to heat up the whole planet.
That sounds about, you know what? I know I come off like a jolly go lucky motherfucker, but like, yeah. The people who know me know. I mean, you see the things I say in our DM sometimes. Like, I be dragging people. Like, I'm like, I'm nice until you're like, I don't need to be.
But I think dragging is connected with warmth. I think you have a really great sense of humor. I think, like, if you're saying, like, you make a cutting remark here and there, like, I don't think that's disconnected from warmth.
Okay, I'll sign up for that. I'm also, a rising Cancer, so I think my Cancer kind of, like, leads the way. I got it tatted on me.
Did you?
Yeah, rising Cancer and my sun and moon are both in Aquarius.
I need to find out what that means. It's like connected with what time you were born,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Every time I've told someone that, like, they're like, oh. Like, they're gets nervous. And I'm like, like, I was on a date with a guy who was like, oh, are you a Cancer? And I was like, oh, no, this is my rising. And my sun and moon are both in Aquarius. It was the first and last date.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a lot. I get it. I'm a lot. But whatever. Who cares? I'm here.
Who cares? You are here. Okay. Let's see what my daily horoscope is, and then we're going to dive in. Aries, which you obviously know, stay resolutely neutral today. Problem number one. If you find yourself caught up in some kind of feud, you may think you can do something to help, but it's more likely your intervention will cause even more problems than existed before. You really don't need that.
They really
do. Every day, they're like, you are trash. Let us tell you, that thing you think you're doing, it's a bad look, and here's 8 paragraphs on why. I swear to God, like, and everybody else, Leo is nice, Virgo's kind of mean.
Maybe you
Scorpio.
Have, like, an arch enemy who works at the Post, and, like, they're just sitting there like, let me write her horoscope and make it bad.
And her name is Sally Brompton, and that's all we have to say about that. My God.
Is that her real name? Let's
no,
read her.
No, it's probably like Timothy, whatever. You know what I just want to look up before we talk about, like, whatever? What is Wendy Acefo's birthday? Ooh. Because I just want to know. May 21st. Okay, what does that... I don't understand how any of this works. Okay, she's a Gemini. This is Wendy Acefo's horoscope, because I think it's actually important. She's a Gemini. According to the planets, you are worrying too much. See, they're very good. And need to calm down a bit, especially about matters related to travel and social events. If someone lets you down today, you are advised to let it pass without comment. Certainly don't get angry.
Oh my God!
Which is why I'm very bitter about what they say about Aries, because they are not wrong. Like, the former editor of the New York Times was like, I don't go a day without reading the New York Post Daily Horoscope. It's a real thing.
I might have to start doing this to level every set expectations day of my life.
But you're gonna feel bad about yourself, but just like ride the wave, because they are very good. Like, I have not done certain things because they've been like, don't be a cunt today. Like, be a cunt tomorrow, but like today, be okay. And I'm like, you know what? It makes a lot of sense to be okay today and be a dick tomorrow.
Who needs to pay for therapy when you can just read the New York Post?
Hello. Hello.
Do not stop going to therapy.
Yeah, actually. Or do. You know what? Let's be chaotic. Honestly, do whatever you feel makes you have an interesting week, because that's all we care about. Listen, Daniel Stokes, that is not a bad horoscope for Wendy Asaja.
It's not. No, it's very on trend, very much timely.
I mean, this week's episode, which I rewatched this morning, my God.
Tell me everything.
I need to know all of your thoughts. So let's hear what you're thinking. Let's hear what you're thinking.
It's just like, I mean, first of all, I just love that Ashley literally came in for like 5 minutes and then was just like, gotta go feed my babies with my boob milk.
She brought so much chaos because Ashley knows her job responsibilities. And she's one of those people who, like, some people are paid by the hour, some people are paid by the project. And she's like, you're going to pay me by the project and I can do in 5 minutes what takes some of these women 4 months. And she gets it done.
Yes. While after having a baby, like, she's literally just like waddling in like, all right, let me stir this pot, throw a little breast milk in here and then be gone back to my luxury condo.
Yeah, her like threads haven't dissolved or something. I don't know how babies work, but like some kind of like threading stitches or something. And she's like, yeah, they're like disappear. I don't want to know how any of that works. I just want to say God bless to her, because she just literally like released a child from her body and is doing prestige work this season.
The child was the rumor about Eddie. That's what it was. That's what she
believed. And oh my God, was that a thing. So tell me what your thoughts are. I want to know specifically about Wendy first, and then I want to walk back from there.
Like, this season, I've been annoyed with the whole Zen Wen situation. Like, it seems forced. It feels contrived. But like, also like, you know, I don't think anyone should get to comment on, like, how someone, you know, wants to feel about themselves. I feel like there's a way to acknowledge it and be like, oh, wow, girl, like, you got this new, like, body, this new confidence. But, like, to say that she's a whole completely different person, I don't know. I don't know her. But I just feel like Robin and Giselle are not coming from a place of love. So it's like, I think that's why Wendy is just on the defense about it, because she knows the game that both Robin and Jizzy, or Guzzle, as me and my friends like to call her, like, the games that they like to play. And she's just going to be on the defense about it. And I just don't, I feel bad for her, because I think there is shit going on in her home that we don't know about. And the whole, like, business thing and trying to balance, like, being a moderator and, like, a lawyer or whatever she does, like, all her 10 degrees. Like, literally, I forgot what her job was. It's a lot.
I feel like it's all related to the packaging of this. Like, yes, Wendy knows what it is that Giselle is probably doing, but they're trying to package too much inside of a narrative they're also weaponizing. Like, they're saying you are doing the Zen Wen, you are speaking in one-off like clip packages, it feels like you are being somewhat performative, and then on top of that you're dressing looser, and then on top of that, like, it's tits for days, and on top of that, the reason we think somehow all of this is connected is because of tabloid rumors about your husband. And that's a lot to present to someone especially when weaponized as a critique, especially when related to gossip about Eddie. Like,
yeah.
How else could a person respond to that?
Yeah, without popping off. Like, it's just... Because it feels kind of forced, and it feels kind of... Like, why? Like, why are you going there? Like, it doesn't feel natural to, like, make all these connections. Especially since, mm-hmm. because, like, more recently, this is the first time we're hearing about the rumors. Obviously, I think off camera, they're probably hearing about them and, like, it's being mm-hmm. spoken about. But the fact that it took us so long to even get to, oh, this is probably why. Like, mm-hmm. it just feels kind of... It feels dirty. I mean, they're doing their jobs and they're standing true to their ground, which I always can applaud both Robin and Giselle. Like, they literally don't waver. They do not show an ounce of fear. They barely even blink when someone is kind of like coming at them. And like, Giselle's kind of just like, well, why are you yelling at me? Like, she's really good about that, of like putting it back on the other person. Like, well, what did I do? Like, I didn't do anything. But it still just feels kind of icky, and I'm very interested to see how the rest of the season plays out, and hopefully Wendy can truly bring a real dragging of Giselle to the reunion. I feel like she needs it.
Did you not think that the dragging that they did in wherever the fuck they were, and I think Virginia, did you not think that that was proper drag?
I don't think it was proper drag. I mean, it was proper dragging, but I, like, as I said, like, Giselle is so good about putting on this poker face of, like, acting like she doesn't care, and like, I want her to be in like a real live moment where she can't like disappear. Like with the reunion, you're stuck there, it's long, it's emotional, so the chances of you like breaking down or having like a wild reaction are higher than if you're just sitting in like a living room, and then you probably go back to your room and cry and be like, well, who cares if Jamal left me for the 10th time for someone else? Like, I want to see that breakdown moment. And also, Robin was super wasted, so like, she herself couldn't even like get into the really tussle of it all because she had her liquid courage. So I want to see them both in these more raw moments at the reunion to see how they actually will handle Wendy.
Do you think that Giselle has capacity for that? Like, regardless of whether or not it's coming from a defensive end, like, do you think that she has the capacity to be vulnerable?
I don't think... I mean, man. Maybe not, because she's so good at her job. And it's so annoying. Like, did she sign a deal with the devil to just, like, cut off all emotion or, like...
I mean, let's call Jamal and find out.
Pastor Jamal. I mean... I don't know if she can, like... But I want to see that from her. I want to see her break down. Like, I want her to have her Vicky Gunvalson moment at the reunion where she literally just like storms off. Like, because she does, she's so dirty. And she has to have that like kind of reckoning of like being knocked down a peg or two. Because I think like if she constantly rides this like this evil wave of just like being that person, like what's the dynamic of it? Where's the growth? Where's the change? Like, you can't constantly just be that one person without like having an actual storyline that is not painting a disgustingly pink wall in your house.
And, you know, it's something that the women reference. Potomac is back to having an after show, and God bless them for it, on YouTube. And it's something that Karen certainly gets into, and I want to say Candace rides pretty hard for Giselle on the after show, both of whom, and maybe Wendy as well, are like, listen, she doesn't give us a single ounce of her reality. She is constantly just going after other women, but that's not a fair exchange.
It's
because
not.
You're not sharing. You are able to weaponize the darkest parts of what we're going through and experiencing, or bringing up things that we haven't yet brought to light, or diving deeper into those smaller moments, but you're not doing the same. So it's unfair for her to demand that from Wendy and other people when she won't even tell us if she's broken up with Jamal in a group setting. Like,
exactly.
How does that even out?
She like she has all the balls in her court, and it's not... Which, like, I get, but it's not, it is just not fair to, for the progression of the story. It's kind of like, you have to kind of give us some of that authenticity, because that's ultimately like what we're here for. Like, we can hate you, but at least give us something. Don't just put up the wall. It's like improv. Like, the main rule of improv is you never say no. You always say yes. And with Giselle, she always shuts it down. And it's just like, but then tries to put it back on the other person about being like, well, I'm not going to talk about it because there are trolls here. But let's talk about your husband who's probably cheating on you. Or like, let's talk about Mia and her past. Like, no. And then it's just kind of like, no one has really gotten her good enough to really kind of like put her in her place to where she can kind of lose that kind of control of having her own narrative. And I actually honestly thought that Wendy should have gone even further with both Robin and Giselle and kind of that moment of like reading them, because they both have shit in the headlines. They both have things like, Robin, have you paid your taxes yet? Like, I'm sure you're not selling that many hats. But really kind of going for them, because Giselle and Robin have made it very, very clear that like, nothing is off limits. And like, I don't necessarily get that Robin doesn't, like, she made it seem like, oh, well, like, either someone rumors about me, like, I just ignore them. Like, I'm sure at some point in her life, Robin was letting that get to her. And like, you know, is she putting up a fake wall to pretend like, oh, I'm unbothered? Who knows? Only God does. But I want them both to get knocked down a peg or two. And no one's really doing it correctly right now. And it makes me sad.
I wonder in Giselle's case, like, how much of this is connected to the life that she had pre-Housewives, maybe even pre where she was before the divorce, where she was like the first lady, where it was expected of her to live and portray a little bit of a facade where like, you guys don't have access to me, but I have access to you. People are coming to her or sharing with her gossip or realities or deep dark secrets, and she was expected to contain it or talk to people about it, certainly not weaponize it, although that may have also been the case. But she was kind of rewarded for building up this really intense exterior life, and then she goes on reality TV having that suit of armor maybe already ingrained in her. Like, are we expecting too much of this person who also, by the way, for some period of time had to exist in her marriage knowing that her husband was cheating on her repeatedly, having children out of wedlock in the from the congregants on outward, you know, like, charity starts at home and so does Jamal. Like, I mean, but like, for like, how much of that is playing into this dynamic? Are we expecting too much of her?
Wow.
In this, like, does she have capacity for this? I don't know. What do you think?
That's actually a great way to look at it, because as someone who grew up in the church, it is, I mean, the reason I stopped going to church, when my parents got divorced, I just saw humans and adults for who they were. But like, there is a lot of this fake it till you make it. I'm going to look at you and tell you what's wrong with you, but there's nothing going on wrong over here. Like, I am strong. I have my stuff together. Yes, there may be rumors that you may hear, but you know what? God's got it. We're handling it. Don't worry about it. I'm here. So I think that does make sense. She is, in her own world, that first lady still, that is presenting this I got it all together narrative. And I think it's, I get so frustrated because like, she's so good at it. And the suit of armor that you talked about, like, she does not blink an eye when someone, if I was sitting across the room from Wendy and she was telling me that like, karma is a bitch and that's why my life is miserable and why I don't have a man, I probably would cry and be like, Wendy. But like, literally Giselle was just like, okay. Sips drink, like, and then like, so maybe it is that. Maybe we are expecting, maybe Giselle can only be this one way. And this is the only way we'll ever, ever see her. And we just have to deal with it as viewers and fans.
And I don't think it makes her like a cruel person, but I do also think she sometimes struggles with empathy and emotional capacity.
I mean, like, her I own don't, kids say that.
Right? Like, she doesn't. There is that. There's, in the words of Jennifer Aniston talking about Brad, like, there's a little bit of a sensitivity chip that's missing. You know, mm-hmm. like, it does appear that that is a thing. It doesn't make her a bad person. It just means that she doesn't. She's probably not going to be the one that you call when your marriage or relationship or job or whatever it is falling apart, unless you want tough love. Like, Giselle's love language is tough love and passive aggressive jokes. And unless you want to participate in that language, I don't know that she's the one that you're going to want to connect with.
Yeah. Even when she was talking to Robin about, like, depression, like, like, it frustrated me so much as someone who, you know, I'm all about mental health and I have suffered from, you know, anxiety and depression and I'm pilled up. But, like, reminds me, I have to take my pills this morning.
Oh, my God.
I was like, do not forget your pills.
It's in a pill box. Different colors on different days.
But I was just like, if I were Robin and my friend, and I was having this conversation with my friend who's basically like given the advice that Giselle was like, what? I felt so bad for Robin in that moment because it's just like, I know what it's like to have that conversation and people just be like, oh, well, you know, just like, just be happy. Like, that's really not how this works. Like, I don't think she can give that type of advice, have that type of conversation, have that type of vulnerability, especially when your own grown children who are very much aware of the fact that, one, you are not empathetic, you aren't good with relationships, you aren't good. Like, if your own kids are saying it, baby.
I mean, the way that she was speaking with Robin when she was like, your man is going to leave you if you stay sad, so just suck it up and deal, and also your business is going to fail unless you don't, again, suck it up and deal. In this, in like, in any time that's tough, but especially in COVID times when just the barometer of what we're able to get through in a day is just has been in many ways reset because you just wake up with this extra weight.
Exactly. And
so to tell her that her only value, she's only bringing value if she's excelling or something, or meeting metrics that maybe she doesn't have capacity to meet. It's just, it's like a value system that's distorted, and it's also set up for Juan to win and Robin to lose. You know, like, exactly. It's all set up with, like, he's going to leave you. Not, is he a partner to you right now? Are you guys able to have conversations? Is he supporting you if you are struggling or trying to figure stuff out? It's like, he's going to leave you, so you need to do better. And then this is also the person who's like, hey, how's Eddie doing? Because it seems like maybe according to the value system that I continue to keep in mind, he is like not meeting the bar. You're failing at this. And that's why you're physically changing your body, because you're not, something is wrong here. So obviously you need to make it better. And yet Jamal has cheated on her several times. And I don't get a sense that she's applying that same method to herself.
She's not. She's looking at everyone else and finding out what is wrong, commenting on it, but refuses to let any of them. Because she's like, oh, no, I'm good. I got it. I don't need this. My man, we're good. We'll have a conversation. That's us, not y'all. But I'm going to tell you how I feel about X, Y, and Z. It's not fair.
Did you think the Jamal reset was real? Did you think their new beginning was
absolutely
real?
Absolutely not. The moment they posted that story, that picture of them with the t-shirts that said, like, the story and then, like,
the plot or something.
Just some, like, nonsense. Like, I think what Giselle wanted to happen, Giselle knew the heat was coming on her when it came to Jamal. So she was like, hey, yo, what's up? Here, let me give you $10,000 if you come and film a few episodes. But like all he did was, as Karen Huger said, he lived on her phone. Like, and then the like one or two times he popped up, it was just like, oh, like, let me pick you up from the airport. Like, that man don't got a license. Like, he can't drive. And then when her dad was on the hot mic, like, that's her father discussing, saying what he said on the hot mic told me everything I needed to know about Jamal and Giselle's faux relationship.
But would she do that to her kids? I don't think she would. I don't think she would actively participate in a fake relationship and not tell them.
I mean, do you think, we have seen women come on this show and do any and everything for a check. Because at the end of the day, they're doing a job and they're getting paid. Right. I think Giselle knows the assignment. She knows what she needs to do. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure there may have been a conversation with producers or just like, hey, Giselle, like, you don't really have a storyline. Like, so like, cause what do you think? She really doesn't. Like, she's not selling hats. She's not getting into real estate. She's not making candles. She's not, you know, trying to become a famous singer. Like, she has no story. Like, there is nothing there. Like, she's giving very much friend of storyline, but main character energy. So I think she was just like, oh crap, like, I need to figure something out. Jamal, like, let's just pretend to be like, I think that's what happened.
Man. And I don't know. Like, has she had was that 6 seasons in at this point? What has her storyline been previously aside from, it's all been based on relationships, right?
And the house.
The house.
But I feel like we've barely even seen the house. Like, I mean, not that I want to see a lot of it.
Right, I know.
We're not going to ask me for that. It's disgusting. But it's just like, she truly has no storyline. Like, there's nothing there. All of her storylines are revolving her putting her foot in her mouth and walking over to the pot with Ashley and stirring it up. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. That's truly all Giselle has really, truly done. Because it's like, think about it. There's only so many times you can have a failed relationship, like, mm-hmm. on a reality TV show where it's just like, so what you gonna do? Like, it's giving Kenya more energy where she was paying off all these men to be, you know, her fake boyfriends. And then she found someone to pay to be her husband. Like, so I think that's what it is. And she got a little scared. So she was like, what can I do? What can I do? And honestly, if her and Karen didn't really even have this huge feud, what is Giselle there for?
Is there a world in which one could say that she's discussing the Eddie stuff because she actually cares? Or is it really because she knows the assignment? I know you're giving me eyes. Because she knows the assignment and this is a thing that maybe she cares about, but regardless, she knows needs to be discussed on camera.
I think it's the latter. I mean, at the end of the day, like, this is what we tune in for. Like, who's going to be the one to, like, bring it in? And I think when, you know, Candace and Ashley have their little thing at the end, like, you know, Candace was like, you know, we all read things on blogs, like, but it's just a matter of, like, do we need to even bring them up, like, on this trip? Like, so I think it's one of those things where they knew the rumors were out there, and it's like, well, who's gonna bring it up? Like, is it gonna be you? Is it gonna be me? And I think one of the reasons why Monique was so crazed last season was because she was nervous that these rumors were going to be brought up on camera. So I think it's like each season, if there's stuff going on in the headlines, there's probably the fear of like, well, I'm not going to do it. Like, are you going to do it? Like, and then Ashley and Giselle were just like, well, we're going to do it because we got to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I'm glad they did because like TV. But it's unfortunate.
I don't know how to, like, package this in my head. Like, the Wendy of it all is honestly, in the words of Succession, like, it's a little bit of a curio. Because it does feel a little bit like something is different.
Something's very different. It does.
Some of this stuff is rehearsed. The yes. Zen Wen moment in the context and TikTok. Outside. I mean, a little bit, like, it doesn't make sense. I want to understand more about the candles, which I love. I love to see a woman monetize being on Housewives. but I just don't know where this is coming from. It feels like a lot of second season energy. And also noting, P.S., her first season, she had just had a fucking baby. She could have been dealing with postpartum. She could have been dealing with the stress of being on Housewives in general, the stress of her career and being in the public eye through the stuff that she does with TV and as a professor and everything else. And this second season, she's like, okay, I've paid my dues. I want to do something new. I want to feel good about myself, feel like I'm looking my absolute best and everything. She has every right to do it.
Every
it's
right.
just that, like, some of the line readings do feel a little practiced, but it's just, you just can't connect it to her husband is the thing.
That's the
you
thing.
You can't connect it to her body.
It's a lot. It's like, these are like three separate things. Like, you can't put them, it's basically like, you know, when you're running late to like a party and you're like, oh my goodness, like, let me just grab these two bottles of wine that, like, I'm never mm-hmm. going to drink. And I'm going to pretend, like, I am repurposing them. And the person mm-hmm. gets them and is just like, they not them giving me this cheap-ass wine that they knew they weren't going to drink. That is what it is. That is what they are doing to us. They're collecting all this shit that they are, like, and they're just trying to put a gift together to be like, boom, Wendy, down with you. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I mean, it's cute, but it's kind of just like, it doesn't, it feels awkward. Like, it's cheap.
Also, I just have to say that Wendy has gotten some excellent work.
Oh,
like,
my
this
God.
Is like, I honestly think Kyle Richards has also gotten really good work.
Kyle Melissa, Richards.
Right?
Like, I think at least twice a week, I have a friend group. We always just say, like, damn, Kyle Richards, doctor, hands so of good. God, sculpted her face.
Right?
She was always gorgeous.
Yeah, always gorgeous.
But, like, she's just, like, stunning.
I can't imagine anybody on Beverly Hills being like, well, you know, Mauricio's getting, which he is getting, like, sued for a bajillion dollars because of, like, whatever. So that explains your nose job. Like, it just doesn't.
That doesn't make sense.
Connect.
Yeah, that's, doesn't make sense. Like. And, like, I'm sure all those women have had work. And is it because, like, Jamal cheated on you? Is it because Juan Dixon was out in these streets and, like, you sold all your money to your friend? Like, you know, Ashley is, like, well, Michael Darby is a whole other subject. But, like, you know, no one is making it about other stuff with other people. And I think it's just kind of, like, and also you can't compare. Like, Robin was saying, like, oh, well, Ashley's heard all these rumors about Michael and, like, she's calm, she's cool. Like, it's when you come for someone's husband, like, you can't expect them to just be calm about it all the time. Like, Ashley Darby knew what she signed up for.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, look at the, you know, trust the source, and the source is Michael Darby, who was credibly accused of things that, yeah, he probably did. You know, like, it's
yeah.
and Juan openly admitted to cheating on Robin, and Jamal has, you know, I mean, it's Jamal. So
yeah.
These are cases where it's like these things did actively happen. So if you're being accused, if your husband is being accused of something and he has never shown a record or that we have heard of him stepping out, you know, like, and he seems like, I'm sorry, a little bit of an angel. Like, don't yes. come for Eddie as stuff. It just is. It's such a wild take to me. And I truly don't want to hear any differently, guys. Like, do
exactly.
not tell me. I don't want to live in that world.
No
of
one does.
She's gonna be pissed. It's not Michael Darby, you know.
Exactly.
It's fucking Eddie.
And you and like you and like even if the rumors aren't, I don't believe the rumors, but it's like this is the type of stuff that'll like break up a marriage on Housewives because it's just
right.
it becomes this spiral. And I can imagine many men who've been married to women on the show, and they're just kind of like, you got to stop this because this is ruining our marriage. And it's also like, it's ruining our marriage, but like, it's bringing in money. Like, this is financially beneficial to us. And like, I've never been on a reality show, but like, I can imagine, like, it must be great to like feel this type of way and get this type of attention from people and obviously make money off of it. So I think it's just like, it's layered. And I think Wendy's probably just like, I don't want my marriage to become a byproduct of this show, because there's many people who've had really good marriages and 3 to 4 seasons in, you know, on page 6, a divorce. So I think she's just like, I don't want this to even happen to my marriage. I don't even want the idea of my marriage to become a source of storyline here, because at the end of the day, this is his credibility. He didn't sign up for this show. I did. I mean, granted, like, they all do. But, like, I think she, in that moment, was just like, absolutely not. Because we know Giselle's deal. Like, and I think when you're just, when you've already been, like, that kind of battered and beaten when it comes to, like, your own personal life, like, after a while, you don't care about shit. And, like, I also think that's something with Giselle. She's just, like, she's been through a lot with Jamal. That's just, like, bring it. Like, come on. I got you.
It's also the idea of signing up for Housewives. I don't know why this is, like, I'm thinking about it in this way. I don't know if I ever have before. But you're gambling. Because you are putting in some chips, you're, you know, deciding to take on this thing because you can see the money, the fame, the access, the possible power, the celebrity, or just the draw that this is something fun and different that you can do. And so few people are able to do it, are asked to do it, are actually cast, that it's like, it's this, the idea of it, the promise of it is really interesting. It sparkles, whatever else. But typically with Housewives, the house wins. So when it, right? Like, it's like you're gambling with things that maybe you don't think you should have to, or you're upset when it's challenged, but people are going to say bad things about you as a part of what they think their job is on Housewives. Like, you are putting possibly a great solid marriage in a game that's not set up for you guys to win.
Exactly.
As a couple, nobody has gone on Housewives and been like, our marriage is great, and everyone else is like, wow, your marriage is great, and then they come out of it and it's like, guess what, we're still great. Like, that, I cannot think of a single relationship or marriage that has survived. Heather Thompson, Jonathan Schindler, I constantly bring them up because I just think they were so solid.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't even know. Like, I guess LVP and Ken, maybe.
And then maybe Kyle and Mauricio, like, with his.
But
you know,
even Mauricio, when it came to the People magazine or Us magazine and the vacay with LVP and Brandy and the don't talk about this on camera and LVP making jokes about him stepping off and stepping out in front of, like, Portia or whichever miniature child it was. Like, I don't know. You know, like, they've had to deal with questions and stuff.
You're right. You're right. So it's, I couldn't do that.
Right? Like, you're gambling with things. And, you know, I would think, I've never been married. Not yet. But, like, nothing like
wanna
the first
do it?
Time. Let's do it. After Whoa. Show. Patreon. $10 a month. I got a ring. But it is a little bit of a gamble. And it's something that maybe, and you could think, like, this is a gamble, I will survive because we are solid enough. But you do also, it, we are too far into Housewives at this point to not acknowledge the stress and suspicion that's going to be placed on the absolute most solid things in your life or the things that you care about the most. They are going to be isolated in some ways.
Exactly.
So for this to happen, it's like, yeah, it sucks. It's not great.
But
also,
it's part of the job.
It is in some ways the part of the job. And you could also argue that Wendy's response is also part of the job. She gave the show what it was looking for, production, mm-hmm. whomever, by responding in the reactive way that she did. It gave us a moment. But the actual idea of it, of, like, dumb shit on blogs coming out on the show, it's kind of part of the show. And
exactly.
At the end of the day, if you guys survive this and you say that you're stronger than ever, like, give it another 3 years. You know, like, we will see how that goes.
Yeah. And I think something that, like, that reminded me of is, like, I think, I forget where I heard it, but Crystal from Beverly Hills was saying how, like, when it came to setting up for the show, she was just like, it wasn't really like just me. She's like, I sat down with Rob and was just like, you know, this isn't just me. This is our whole family. Like, I have friends who've gone through this. Like, they're gonna try to find a way to, like, find something about our marriage, drag it up, and, like, we felt we're good, we're solid in that area. Like, I care more about Rob's reputation for his business than, like, you know, a marriage rumor or something like that. But I think it's, like, those are things you have to think about when getting on, because, like, if I ever became famous or something, like, I would need to delete my Twitter. Like,
you would need to schedule that in your Google Cal and be like, okay, famous coming tomorrow. So today, what do I need to remove from the interwebs?
I would get canceled within a minute. My tweets.
I don't have... Oh, are you? But we've talked about... You are a little bit... Are you a little bit of a not great person? Fine. What's the deal? Are we still doing that thing?
No, I've gotten better. One, because I don't want to lose my another Twitter account. Well, not after I lost the last one, because I think I was saying, I was just drinking too much while tweeting.
Oh my.
But now I just get high and tweet. So it's just okay. Like, it's a different, like, and I don't at people anymore.
Good.
Because I think the thing, like, I added Lisa Rinna, and I said,
I hate what you said.
I remember it like it was yesterday. I was making a margarita. It was during like the height of like the Denise Richards shit.
Oh no.
And like, I was just like, Lisa Rinna is such a see you next Tuesday. And I wrote
you
the word.
You can't say that.
Well, yeah, I knew that when I woke up the next day and my Twitter account was suspended. Was suspended.
Wait, did you spell out like SEEYOUNEXT? No, you did CUNT.
I did the four letter word.
That's terrible.
I know. And then it was just like, wow. And then I made a tweet about a politician that was the nail in the coffin. again, drunk, watching TV, and it was just like. So yeah,
and
I learned my lesson.
Your account was literally suspended from that?
Yeah. Like I literally like wrote Twitter and I was just like, hey, like, you know, like I know this is kind of like politically charged, but I just don't feel like this politician is handling things right. I apologize. And they were just like, yeah, sorry.
Wow. And so
which is very depressing because now it looks like I've only had Twitter since like September of 2020, which is weird because I've had it since like college. And like, it's that honestly, that is what hurts the most is that it looks like, because literally one time I tweeted something and this girl was like, you just made your page, calm down. I want to be like, you don't know my life. You don't, all my life I've had to fight.
I cannot believe.
It might be my Facebook next. I just got reported on there.
Why are you so bad on... This is not good.
It's well.
You're
it's,
a little bit of a Candace, and that's here's, an here's, insult.
No, here's
that
my
is
thing.
Not a good thing to
I
be.
I know. Here's the well, I've gotten better with Twitter, but with Facebook, it's like all of my friends, not friends, all the people that I went to like high school with from Ohio. Right. And okay. So like I posted something the other day. It was just like... Someone had tweeted something about, you know, if the black community can support gay people, why can't they support stepfathers? It was so weird.
What?
Yes. Yes. So I screenshot it and I said, straight black men continue to let homosexuality kick them in the ass. It doesn't matter that I like to suck the D word. Mm-hmm. Let us live. Someone reported it. And my mom texted me and said, you need to stop posting these things on Facebook. And I said, you could also unfollow me.
Wow. This is a, like, prestige, like, docudrama. I could see this on Netflix of, like, Daniel goes online. Like, what is going to happen next?
Yeah. I just say the things that everyone else is thinking. But I've gotten better at it. I'm not getting suspended, I tell you that much.
And we've moved to pot or whatever.
Yeah, I'm like more calm. But I did call, I was like, oh, which one of you straight men reported my post? LOL on Facebook.
And did anybody respond?
No, they don't want this smoke.
I mean, that's a lot where the smoke is, and they don't want to get burned. Listen, I do want to get your thoughts on Beverly Hills, but before I do that, I want to tell you about a new show that I think you will love. People Magazine's People Every Day, hosted by editor-at-large Janine Rubenstein. People Every Day is a mix of the most popular celebrity and inspirational human interest stories mixed with entertainment news, exclusive interviews, and feature stories. From unpacking Britney Spears' conservatorship, hashtag free Britney, obviously.
Please free her.
I mean, absolutely. And culture scandals to interviews with stars like Julianne Moore, The Rock, Chelsea Clinton, and more. People Every Day is your daily dose of pop culture and what makes us human. And I just have to shout out, I mean, I was raised on People. Like, People Magazine is always going to be, I mean, it's
People
Magazine.
Get a Reese's, you know, and a piece. Get a Reese's and a People Magazine at the checkout.
Right? Like, you just gotta go for it. So I think this sounds like something that we all need to add to our podcast every day. I mean, it's People Every Day.
Subscribe, like, people. Follow.
Truly. Why, listen wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, like, you know, the one that you're listening to now. I do want to get your thoughts before we close out on Beverly Hills, because where even are we? Every day is a new opportunity to talk about this fucking season. Where are you right now?
Every week I wake up on Monday and I say, Lord, can you just fast forward to Wednesday? I we're literally, I think you said this, we are literally watching Housewives history unfold in front of us. Mm-hmm. Between the relationships, the feuds, the pop culture legality of it all. Like, never have I ever felt so invested in a season of Housewives in a very, mm-hmm. very long time, because this is, like, real shit that is happening. And it's, like, these feuds are real. And I think from day one, we've had, like, we started off with, you know, Crystal versus Sutton. And then, you know, we got a preview of the Garcelle versus Dorit. But we're like, let's table that. We knew the Erica stuff was coming. And I think it's just been, like, mind-blowing, like, seeing her, I don't know if it's called crack or, like, break, like, seeing Erica not be, like, I'm Erica Jane, like, and be, like, I'm gonna, oh, like, I love it, like, and then just Sutton's just laughing and rich, and just Kathy Hilton, like, the TV trays, I just,
tell me.
And that moment where last week where Kathy cried.
Oh, like, my God.
When I tell you, like, I'm the type of person, like, I don't cry during, like, sad movies. Like, I cry during, like, Project Runway when someone's needle breaks. that is me. Or, like, they don't get a deal on Shark Tank. But, like, seeing, you know, this woman who is so, like, fun and, like, you know, truly, like, the life of the party, it seems, show such vulnerability of being, like, you know, like, you just saw, like, the flash of those 10 years in her eyes and being like, I never, ever want to be in that place ever again. And it was just kind of like, wow, like, such great moments have been had this season of just humor, emotions, very interesting conversations. Like, you know, I think, you know, being the fact that it was the pandemic and Black Lives Matter, I think, you know, there's been a nice balance of discussing it in, like, a, I would say in a healthier way than, like, Orange County. But just, like, I can't wait to just continue to see how these relationships unfold. And also, like, what is this reunion going to be like? Like, I feel like this might be, like, one of the best reunions ever, because there's so much that's been said. So much has happened in the press, in the confessionals. So many people dislike each other on this cast. That I think we're finally done with the bullshit facade that Beverly Hills has tried to put up for so long. And I think the Fox Force 5 or Fox Force 4, whoever what the hell they want to call themselves, needs to be prepared. Because I feel like Garcelle is coming and Sutton is coming for this reunion to literally let these girls have it. Because they've been able to control the narrative for a long time and truly kind of be the queen bees. And Sutton and Garcelle are not going to let these women walk without holding them accountable.
And the most interesting thing with the reunion is going to be, you know, Erica's going to do Erica however she wants. She's going to behave in the manner that she thinks is the best strategy for her legally and the best thing for her reputation and the best kind of narrative for her as the victim and all of this and whatever else. But I think that these women have noticed in real time that the audience is really going to react in a manner that is highly critical as needed. And so it is going to be wild to see the ways that I think Erica and Rinna specifically are going to try to play to their audiences. And Rinna's comes with a little bit of the like extra performative, trying to be whimsical, zany, whatever layer that isn't necessarily working out in her favor this season. But regardless, they're going to pretend that they're in their bubble because the reunion doesn't include a live audience. It includes their cast members, the crew, and their ego and whatever else, defensive mechanisms, whatever there is. So to watch them in real time try to decide who they're playing to, like their allies, cast members, legal consequences, audience, fan base, business partners, Andy's favor. It's going to be wild, especially because I think now Erica's starting to get that, like, some people don't believe her or are really critical of her behavior in a way that's maybe not great for her because the eyes of the law are also now staring down. The tension of that, of knowing that you have played a certain part for a long time and you know that part is maybe being recast, like, or you're gonna have to try something else now. That is a wild shift. And she might not make it. She might still be Panther Ring, Erica with an E, like super fabulous and in this spot. She may still try to drive that train. And that is going to be a fascinating journey. Fascinating.
It's going to be, I just like, the thing that is confusing to me still is, like, who is letting her tweet the things that she's tweeting? Because it's, like, she's playing this, like,
I'm bored. She literally tweeted, I'm bored this week.
Yeah, and it's just, like, I don't, like, is she that, she could potentially be that delusional. Because a lot of rich and famous people are very delusional and they don't really get reality. And I think she's living in a very slippery slope. I think, I'm very interested to see how the cast is going to handle this, especially knowing that, like, that lawyer said he wants to depose Rinna. So I think, you know, maybe the cast is like, oh, shit, I don't want to, like, and it's kind of like Sutton was right. And very much the fact that she offered to give Erica a loan,
which was a video that was a Secrets Revealed style clip that wasn't a part of the episode, which really fucked Sutton.
Yeah.
That is a video that was circulating on social of Sutton being like, yeah, and by the way, I offered to give her a loan because I had been through a contentious divorce. I know that cash flow is very, very tight and it's used as a bargaining chip. And so I offered her money. She said, no, thanks. But now I have to deal with the fact that I offered her money. Am I going to get implicated as a result?
Exactly. And I think, like, that in itself just adds such an extra layer to, one, just to show how great of a person that Sutton is. And it's kind of like, I'm so annoyed that they, like, left that out because they're painting this picture that she is worried about her societal you know, mm-hmm. standings. And it's just like, I think even Kyle, maybe someone said it, or maybe in the after show, or maybe I read it online. So it's like, no, she's Sutton should care, because like she is part of a lot of boards. She's part of a lot of like, you know, charities and foundations. And it's like, she could get taken off of those because of her association with someone, you know? And mm-hmm. I think it's very much, you don't want to be associated with someone who literally has spent millions of stolen money.
I mean, I also think, like, regardless of the fact that it wasn't used in the edited episode, which I think is insane, Erica knew that Sutton offered her money, and Erica's exactly. treating her like fucking shit. And you
shit
know what?
On a stick.
How many of those women sincerely offered her cash? Not like, I'll slide into your DM, your Venmo or whatever it is, and I'll give you whatever. But like, truly, these women have not experienced divorce in the way that Sutton has with a truly high net worth individual who
exactly.
was able to weaponize it as much as he absolutely wanted, plus forensic accounting and whatever else. Like, Sutton was like, listen, I know what you actually need, and I am here to help. And to treat her in the way that Erica has treated her, knowing that Sutton was used just as and manipulated just as much as everybody else with the actual reality of what was going on, and to say that she is a small town whatever and a piece of shit and making this all about herself, and you know what she has offered you, it's so wildly yeah. cruel to me. It's actually cruel.
It is very, it's very cruel. It paints a picture of who Erica Girardi, because that's your name, you're not Erica Jane, who Erica Girardi is and who Sutton Strack is. Because clearly Sutton came from a place of love and then was then bulldozed by Erica and the other girls by being pushed under the bus of like, you know, Dorit and her fake ass accent, like, was all up in Sutton's ear, like, yes, yes, yes. And then, like, mm-hmm. and I'm glad Sutton called her out. I was like, I feel like y'all kind of, like, threw me under the bus. And, like, now Sutton knows, like, okay, I see. All right, I see all of y'all for who y'all are. And I won't let y'all play me again.
I mean, this week is going to be insane. It's just going to be insane. It's going to be insane. Just buckle up. Just buckle up. It's going to be, I'm going to have to do like an emergency Patreon right after or something. Like, I just know it. I can feel it in my bones. And I think that everyone's coming for Sutton. And this is the joy of the time between episodes airing and the reunion, that Sutton at least knows that a lot of people have her back.
Yes.
And hopefully that, and Garcelle, by the way, and hopefully that energy yes. gives them a little extra oomph, because I cannot imagine how isolating it is in real time to be in that position, in that environment where there are all of these different people coming at you and you only have to in real time truly trust yourself.
Exactly.
And so I just hope that they know that like they got a lot of support on that side, and we will see how the others pan out. I'm curious as to Kyle and all of this. I'm curious.
Yes, Kyle is the one I'm curious about, because I don't feel like Kyle believes
right
Erica. I think Kyle is seeing everything and being like, mm-hmm. oh, this is not good. Like, mm-hmm. I think that Kyle's going to, in my perfect world that I've already created in my head, I think that Kyle is going to be the standout of the reunion, because I think Kyle will probably be the person that be like, she'll say the things of like, well, I don't know if I truly believe you, Erica, or like, that's the preview. I don't know if I truly believe you, Erica. Doom.
I would love to see it, but you know, she did go on holiday after the season shot and was dancing to It's Expensive to Be Me. None of these women actually thinking about the lyrics, by the way, and posting that on social like, to support. I mean, I know it was like also Erica's birthday or whatever, but I just, guys, I don't know. I die for Kyle. She's one of my top five. I do think, regardless of what she says on the reunion, I do think genuinely she questions what's Erica's reality, what's the reality of what we're in right now.
I
do think she has that, and I think Rinna's ignoring it or refuses to deny it or weaponizes anyone who thinks differently, And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be, it's going to be a 9-part reunion. I yes. need it to be 1700 hours. If you want to put it on pay-per-view, if you want to do a Big Brother style, I will pay $9 million. I will pay $9 million. I got it from Tom. He gave me a loan. He said it was okay. He said, he told me to hide it and I'm going to hide it by giving it to Bravo. I just want to watch in real time. I want a live feed of that. I will give literally any. I want to see. I want to be in the room where it happens.
Exactly. Just sitting there.
I want a live feed. Just watching. Like, imagine how fucking crazy.
The tension. Oh, my God. The tension when all those women are going to be in a room and, like.
I mean, I think that, you know, the producers, I think the tension of the producers is going to be something. Absolutely something. Listen, I could talk to you all day about Housewives because, you know, I'm obsessed with you. Can you tell the people how to follow you online?
You can follow
your DMs, whatever you can Twitter follow, account you currently have. Oh,
I'm not telling you my Twitter. You can follow. You can follow me on Instagram at Rupert_Baxter. And that is the only social media that I have.
God, guys. And while you're on social looking for Rupert, follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. I'm putting up another bonus episode on the Andy's Girls Patreon. So join the AG Patreon, get exclusive bonus episodes, invites to special events, and more. The number one way to support AG. Patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Got some exciting announcements for Team AG in the next couple weeks. So I am hopefully you guys will follow me on IG because that'll be the number one place to hear that news. And guys, I hope you guys are doing okay. Danielle, a pleasure as always.
Always.
I die for you.
Always. Like, I'm about to like go into my work meetings like, hello.
You're warmed up and I'm here.
Woo! Hey team.
Guys, I hope you are also doing well, staying safe, staying sane, getting vaccinated if you can, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.